is a book, Secret Wars, Secret Love, number one. And it is a $40 book.
Awesome. Yeah. If you guys watching the stream did not get that, Secret Wars, Secret Love.
Number one. I have no clue why. It doesn't say it first appearance or anything.
It's actually been creeping up for like a year. It was like a $10 or $15 book like a year and a half ago. Like pre-pandemic times.
Yeah.
So anyway, welcome to New Dimension Comics Presents.
Are we live?
Yeah. Hello. I know you're still going through all the books you sold tonight. It's crazy. So, yeah, it's been a fun week. It's been all kinds of crazy. I've been nuts with the show stuff because, you know, surprise, Three Rivers Comic Con Lite is almost a week away.
Yeah.
So, but we do have some reminder dates of stuff. Obviously, that is a big one. Definitely come and check that out. It is outside. The map is up. There's going to be some tweaks because I accidentally, two people that requested to be beside each other when they signed up, I forgot about it. And I am sorry. I'm not going to fix it for you. So I have to fix that. So for the most part, everybody that's coming is up there on it. I spent most of my day today sending out giant emails to all those vendors to make sure they're prepped and ready to roll. But if you want to come early from 10 to 12, it's $5 each day. And starting this coming Monday, you can get your pass at your local New Dimension comic store. All six locations will have them. It is a different pass per day. So make sure that you are clear with them which day you're getting. And only the early birds get the free graphic novel this year. So mostly due to space restrictions. We were like, we don't really have a lot of that. There also will be food trucks. At bare minimum, the Fudge Farm will be there both days. So that'll be cool. We will recommend people to bring cash. Since it is outside, there are a couple banks with ATMs near there, but make sure you guys bring some cash to spend. So check that out. There's about 100 artists and vendors total. So this is going to be fun, man. I'm real excited. I'm super excited that we're going to have a giant blow up Stay Puft Marshmallow Man. Like that's my big thing. Like I think that's awesome. So, other than that, we still have the Million Comics sale coming up, and that is on the first Saturday of June. And then later in June, we're going to have, we're going to announce it this weekend, the Secret Warehouse sale is no longer going to be a Secret Warehouse sale. It's going to be a known secret or known warehouse sale, but it's not secret. I think it's supposed to be a secret warehouse, but I don't know why it's secret if we've had this multiple times. Is it only secret for someone who doesn't know where it is? But anyway, it's like our Castle Grayskull. You can't really get in unless you have the power.
Ron has the power. I know
Ron
that.
Totally has the power. But also, just so you know, the VFW is every Saturday in Elwood from 12 to 5 for a quarter apiece. There are box pricing. You can check it out on our website. During the Million Comics sale, the VFW will be a quarter. So Old Store will be $1. Basement and upstairs in Elwood will be $1. VFW will be a quarter. So if you're into indie stuff, go check it out. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Cool.
So, all right.
I'm just going to say at some point, I feel like since we're figuring it out, we're going to have to talk about that Venom 2 trailer at some point tonight.
And figure out if that movie's going to be hot garbage or just garbage.
Yeah, we're going to. Oh, yeah. Okay.
We'll talk about that later. Sure.
Yes.
We need to figure out who that one guy who keeps giving us dislikes is on the YouTube. This one guy.
Really?
Yeah, just one. And I'm like, come on, man. Come on. We love you all. Why can't you love us back?
I didn't see that. I'm going to go like just on all the videos.
Yeah. Well, at least the last two, but whatever.
Done.
I know, right? Stop ruining my metrics, man. Stop ruining my metrics.
Making me anyway, mad. Like it.
It's all right. There's still more likes than dislikes. That's all that matters to me. So can't please them all.
I'm going to announce something too that I came up with earlier today. This is going to come out of my pocket. If we can get to 100 subscribers, I am going to buy someone of the 100 randomly a $100 gift card to New Dimension Comics.
How many do we have right now? Does it say?
We have 27.
27?
So I'm going to buy that out of my pocket for somebody of the 100, but we need to get to 100. We have 27. So go tell your mama, tell your friends, tell your grandma. Go to a random old person's home, just start telling those people, leave flyers at McDonald's. We get to 100, and to celebrate that, I am going to buy someone a $100 gift card.
I will also add something cool. If we make it to 50, I will give somebody, I don't know, like I'll give them 5 books, that are minor key-ish.
Okay.
I'll buy them for you.
Okay.
Like, and I will just have them there. I already have 2 of them, but I can't tell you what they are because I keep forgetting to pull the other ones.
All right. So John's 50 subscribers is 5 minor key-ish books that he will buy for you. And then at 100, I will buy somebody a $100 gift card.
At 50, it's about $50 worth of books. At 100, it's $100 worth of just random shit.
Yeah.
So, yeah, exactly. Fun times.
So I just want to, the numbers keep growing, and we had a lot of people last week watching, and it was really fun. So
yeah. Chat lit up like fire last week. I loved it. Yeah. Yeah, so make sure you guys utilize that. I know Ron couldn't be there. He was at, he had won our Christopher Priest giveaway, and that's where he was at.
Yeah.
I got a very nice thank you email from him, and you are welcome, Ron. You are welcome. You honor me. All right. So I guess we can talk about comics then, yeah?
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to go first.
Do it.
My first book is Hyperion and the Imperial Guard, part of the Heroes Reborn thing. So this was kind of interesting. Because it's the Imperial Guard of the Shi'ar, and it takes place, I'm pretty sure this is like an alternate past, but Hyperion's like, I don't know, 18 at this point. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of cool, like they've beaten Deathbird, and the Starjammers kind of betrayed them on some things, so they kind of went to see what's going on on Deathbird, where Deathbird died, to see what's been going on, and then all of them start getting infected by the Brood, and the Brood had been kind of dormant for a long time according to this, so it's just interesting to watch, and like Hyperion kind of does this what the equivalent of Superman's solar flare would be to kill a bunch of Brood guys. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was really well written, and then the backer is an alternate Starjammers where Scott and Alex are actual Starjammers with Corsair, Hoopspah, Groot, and Rocket. And it's just a very interesting take on like a Starjammer thing. And then like a Nova shows up and it's Johnny Storm. And it's like, what? And then you find out that Johnny's actually working with the Landra, and the Landra's on the run, and they're all trying to get back at Deken, who's her brother, who took over the Shi'ar throne. So if you like Claremont era X-Men, I guess. Yeah. Like, this book is perfect for you because it's very tied into that whole era of that kind of stuff. So I really dug it. I gave it like an 8 out of 10.
I'm glad that you picked that book first, because I did Heroes Reborn, which I'll do last, and there's a lot of that stuff with the Brood Infested, like Shi'ar, in that issue.
Yeah, so it's kind of cool that they're doing this like throwback to like that era, that like I said, like the Claremont era. So I love Claremont. He was a really nice dude when I got to talk to him at Philly. I went to the first Keystone Comic Con and like nobody was there. Yeah, it was really awkward because they had like a marching band go through, which was very awkward during the middle of the thing, and it was very loud and no one could deal with it. But Claremont was there and he had nobody in line, so I just walked up to the table and started talking to him for like 20 minutes. Super nice guy. All right, you ready to do yours?
Yeah, Time Before Time is the first one. Yep. This one will be a quick one because I think a lot of people already know about this book. So the first thing is, I sent Declan a message last night and told him we sold all but 4 copies of this on the first day.
And how many did you order?
I want to say we ordered like 25 or 30. That's so not right. That is not bad for the first day and for that first issue. So he said, thank you, to tell everybody that that bought one. Thank you. So if you bought one, there is a thank you from the writer. So this book, we kind of already, you know, we know about it. We talked about it when he was on the show. It's essentially refugees in time, people that are using black market time machines to escape to the past, so they can leave behind the shitty future and hopefully find a better life. Where the really cool story comes in is this guy's partner goes back in time to work on something, and I'll tell you about this in a second. And he's doing he's running a mission for the guy that runs this black market time machine group, and he gets stuck and captured, and by the time they can get him back, he's like 90 years old and he passes away and dies. They were planning on leaving to the past, to stealing a time machine. So I think the big setup is going to be, what is this main character going to do now? He's lost his best friend, somebody that he was going to, you know, escape with. And he ends up getting displaced in time as well. So this looks like it's going to be a really fun series. I just put this up because I thought this was a really cool, like, 3-point perspective. This shot was really cool.
It reminds me of like Batman Beyond.
Yeah, absolutely. You could just see like Terry McGinnis like swooping through. But I don't have too much to say about it because I know we've talked about this book already. But I kind of wanted to throw it out there because it was selling really well. And I thought it was a good book, not just because he was on the show. It was a fun book. Most things time travel, I'm usually on board for. But this one was like time travel with a little bit of a twist. So
I dig it.
Yeah. So you read this too, right? Yeah, you read it.
I read the PDF that he sent. So it was mostly the first like it was like the first half of the book. Yeah. I didn't get to catch up on it. I was going to try to read it today, but unfortunately I only had time for these three because of all the show stuff I was doing. And then at one point I was like, I need to stop working. So I went outside and rode my bike for like an hour down like across the Strip District just to get out. I posted some cool pictures from that side of the Strip, that side of the river. But it's just been a really long day for me. But I do plan on checking it out later. I probably have like 4 more books I was going to finish tonight. And actually, a couple of them were the ones you were reading. So I was like, I'll listen to see what Tim says. And if I think that's crap, I'm just going to not read it. So, boom. So, all right. My second book is Magic: The Gathering, number 2.
These covers are just fire. All
dude,
of them.
The whole book is fire.
Really?
Oh my god, it is so good. Like, think like, trying to think like think like the last couple He-Man books. Like that's the kind of art style you get, right?
Yeah.
So this book continues from where the last one left off, where Jace has been completely in, like obliterated, and his mind is stuck because he tried to read an assassin. And so they have him in seawater in the blue mage hospital. And this they were like,
he's a planeswalker.
Yeah. So yeah. It's set in the Magic the Gathering universe. Yeah. And it's set in Ravnica very specifically. So if you guys are checking it out, or if you're into magic, it's much better than I think any of the IDW stuff I've ever read. And definitely better than the old Top series stuff. Well, and it's Raoul Zarek
printing. What's so, that? I said, and it's going to a third printing. So yeah. People were obviously liking it. So
yeah. Veraska, this book is worth it just to look at Veraska and how detailed she is as like a Medusa style character. And yeah. Watch, like Kea kill ghosts. It's super cool. So they try, the assassins show up again, trying to kill Jace. The rest of the guild masters realize that somebody's trying to do that. So they call a meeting of all the guild masters. While Raoul, Kea, and Veraska send their best warriors to kind of guard Jace. And it gets real interesting because you get to meet all the other guild masters. So you have Hekera, who's a blood witch, of Rakdos. I can never say his knight name right. Borborygmos, who is the guild master of Gruul. And they're just like crazy weird monsters. Vanifar, who's a Simic, like kind of like almost like test tube type baby type. Like they grow themselves, like that's their thing. And Tristani from Selesnya. Lazav does not show up. He is part of the Demir House, which is the black blue guys. They're like super secretive and kind of spy like. And basically they all get together and they're like, yeah, we need to go after Lazav and find out what's going on. So like Aurelia, who's the who's another Boros guild master, she's like a giant like fire angel. It's like they're all like, yep, we agree. And they're all like, oh, for the first time we all agree on something cool. And then the last page you see that someone who may or may not be behind this is actually Tezzeret, and he looks killer. One second, let me whoop, sorry, there's a glare.
That's pretty cool.
He looks awesome.
Yeah.
So this book, if you're into the Magic the Gathering lore, definitely pick it up. It is really, really good.
I'm not, but I kind of want to check it out now because your review on the first one seemed really good, and this one seems just as good. So I think I'm going to have to check it out.
The only thing I wish that they would do is actually have, like a card with it, like if they would do that, because they used to do that with like the Tops and the IDW stuff. Well, I mean, it used to be the cover, right?
Yeah,
as an alt, and these covers are way too cool and way different and couldn't actually be a full card,
or so. even do like a code for Arena.
Look
how well that worked for the Fortnite books,
yeah. You know?
So that probably would have been, could have did that, but. Yeah, that's cool.
I'll pitch that to Boom for them. So
I told Carl if we get to 1 million subs, I will buy him a PS5. He said that does not add up.
I see that.
I said that's because by the time that happens.
Oh, that's true. That's true. Very true.
Yeah.
Oh man, I miss Cash and Culture. I haven't been to one of those in a while.
We have 28. We got an extra sub as we were doing this.
What? Well, seven people watching, but I only see two people commenting. Come on, peoples.
Who else is there?
Oh, now we're back down to six. Someone stopped watching.
You said something. They were
there
like,
you go. Oh, my bad. My bad. So, all right. You ready for your second book?
Yes.
X-Corp, right?
Yeah, let's do X-Corp.
Okay.
All right. X-Corp. So we got Monet and Angel. This book is the first outside of Fallen Angels. This is the first piece of poop X-Men book that I have read in this Hickman universe. This book was so boring. It's literally what's Monet's name?
She's a psychic. It's just M.
What's her superhero name? Her X-Men name? I'm trying to remember.
It was M. Like, well, she was Penance originally.
Penance. That's what it is. She's going by Penance in this. Okay. I remember M, but so it's Penance and Angel. They start a company. They're running it. It's called X-Corp. And it's like being at a board meeting, but like if I told you the board meeting was run by X-Men, you'd be like, oh man, that's so cool. But then if I told you that the X-Men that are running it do absolutely nothing, you'd be like, oh, so just a regular board meeting then, right?
so like what happens when I have a manager's meeting. Okay.
Yeah. So like this was the opening. They were trying to shoot a commercial to like, hey, this is X-Corp and these are our values and these are the things we do. It was a very cheesy intro, but it was supposed to be because it was them shooting a commercial. I'm going to give it the first arc. I always say I'll give something the first arc and see where it goes, but this was super boring. And then there was things like really inconsistent. Like if you look at the artwork on this, it's meant to be like one image, but with a split down the middle to make it, you know, two panels. And if you look at the helmet on Sir Xavier, there's like all this shading and texture on his neck. But then on the left side, it's like they forgot, like none of the shading continues over. So there was a lot of things, like it just felt boring and rushed. And I hate to say that because I've really loved all the X-Men stuff that's come out so far. Like I said, I will give it the first arc and see where this goes because they have that gala that's coming up, and I feel like this is probably some setup for that. So we'll see where that goes, but a little disappointed. So, that gets a two thumbs down.
All right, my last book, and this was actually this ended up being way better than I expected it to be, is Silver City, number one. I didn't really have any expectations as to what it was going to be. I was just like, Silver City could be heaven. Silver City could be this, could be that. And it's definitely about the afterlife. It starts off where these people are they're in LAX and, a plane just comes barreling into the airport, kills them all. And they all wake up. They all wake up in this dark room with these guys in the white coats and they're all asking to see their eyes. And they're trying to explain to them that they're dead. And they walk out and they're in this big city and they're rushed out into like a couple different, groups, I guess. And, the main character named Rue runs into two street punks who kind of look like the two dudes from the first Terminator movie, like Bill Paxton's character and the other guy.
Like when Schwarzenegger comes up naked and just beats it out of him.
Yeah. Actually, yes. it was like, it turns out like they kind of talk her into being their roommate and they kind of give her a tour of the Silver City and what it's about. And it is all kinds of crazy. But I really enjoyed it. And then they talk about the Silver Knight and a little bit of the past of the Silver City. And you find out, like, Rue has a power I'm not going to try to give too much away because I know there's some people that wanted to read it. But this was really, like, way, way good. I was really blown away by how good it was. But that's from Aftershock. Check that out. It is really, really good. And I am I'm really impressed by that. And by the way, Aftershock will have a representative at Three Rivers Comic Con next weekend. Yeah. So I don't know if they're going to have any variants or anything, but you may want to check that out. So, okay, what's your last book? Your last book is Heroes Reborn number 2. Look at that Hulk, buddy. Like, yeah. I'm like, how is he not ripping his pants more? Like why? Or why are his pants so clean and not rippy? Like, it's just like, I just wear blue, extremely spandexy boxers. And when everything just rips apart, I just have it there. Maybe. I don't know. But and that and Hyperion's haircut makes him look like Guy Gardner.
Yeah, and he does. this was a little weird for me because they split this. The first book was really good, and there's two stories in this, and both of the stories are really good. The second one's a little shorter, and the second one is advancing the story a little bit more. I wanted to put this up because they're definitely effing with DC right now. They're like, hey, and I said this last week, they're like, watch us do lame versions of your characters better than you do your regular characters. And it's like, make way for Marvel's mightiest megastar. And it's like the whole intro for Superman, like how he comes down to Earth. And then instead of Superman, it's Hyperion. And I just,
yeah, but I mean, it was like that, like when they did them, they did the squadron before.
Yeah,
and I did remember what that character's name was. It was Warrior Woman, okay. But it was nuts. So
yeah, I love it. I think it's funny, and it comes at probably like a good time. Is like people were like, "Oh, DC, what's going on?" But they seem to have turned it around. So, anyways, there's so many cool things about it that I like. But this story is all about Hyperion. It's setting up his character to be the Superman in this universe. He's a teacher for ninth grade American history, and you're kind of just going along the ride with him. In the last issue, he had taken Dr. Doom. Such a cool picture.
Oh my god, this is so cool.
Yeah, this is like the second page. He's narrating and talking about how he has kept this planet safe, and he's like, but there's one person left, and you know, Superman Krypton explodes. Well, Hyperion says that his planet was destroyed by Galactus, so this is like him finishing off the fight. And he does, it's not even like Galactus fights back, it's like, hey Galactus, and then next page, boom, I blew through your head. But I like the story because I like the background on the Hyperion of this world, whatever this world is, which is still unknown. Obviously we talked about how Blade remembers everything. So it definitely has ties to the 616, but is it within it? Is it a pocket dimension? How did this happen? I'll talk about this part in a second. He's going on talking about all the people that he has saved and how he has taken Dr. Doom, who was like the last bad guy that was kind of left. He put Dr. Doom in the negative zone prison, and Reed says, hey, when you put him in, a bunch of guys snuck out. So now he's flying around trying to get all those guys back into the negative zone prison. And this is where he runs into Guardian. And the Slee Sacks, as they were always called in Uncanny X-Men. But they, as you talked about, they've taken over by the Brood. So the Brood now run the Shi'ar. They've completely infiltrated them.
All of them or just the Royal Guard?
No, it's actually called like the Shi'ar Brood World now.
Oh.
So they've completely taken over the Shi'ar, which is another interesting thing, because then that's, you're not just talking about this Earth, you're talking about all of this reality has changed, because there's, you know, pockets in space and stuff. So it was a
Went from the the symbiotes taking over everything to the brood taking over everything. Excellent. Yeah. That was very quick. That was a quick turnaround. Way to go, Marvel.
I still hate his pants. Like the gold, like
They don't look as bad in the other one. They look more just like trunks in the other one.
Yeah. And
I just don't like these because they look like they're like riveted to his chest.
And it looks like a wrestling belt, I keep saying. Like I feel like he has like a title belt on.
Well, possibly. I mean,
so the thing that was weird for me for the story was, while the art is fantastic and the story is good, it felt weird for the second issue to do a split story with two different artists for issue number two. Usually issue number one's, hey, here's your setup. Mm-hmm. And then number two, you know, the story's starting to move forward a little bit. So there's only seven issues. I felt like they were trying to show off too much, you know, stuff that compares to the DC world. This is great googly moogly. This is Peter Parker, the Shutterbug, who is basically the Jimmy Olsen of the universe. He was never bit by the spider. He's just a photographer, and he's Hyperion's best pal.
Wow.
Follows him around. Yeah, right? So, what's the next image that I had? So as they're going through, and Hyperion is putting everybody back in the jail, he's like, there's one last person left, and it's the Hulk. And the Hulk in this is kind of bizarro. He's crazy, but the Hulk also remembers. He remembers how the world was, similar to Blade. The only problem is the Hulk doesn't make it out of this. He has a confrontation with Hyperion, and he's taken off the board kind of permanently. So that leaves, at least right now, Blade. I thought this was funny. I just zoomed in on this real quick. So I was like, oh, what's that headline say? Parker Lux strikes again. Bugle's own Peter Parker, temporarily transformed into giant spider from Alien Bite, falls and breaks own legs, all eight.
Wow.
Yeah. So I like that little detail. I zoomed in on that as soon as I was like, what is this? So essentially the story is Hyperion giving you some background on his character, on himself. He's narrating this. And he's cleaning up the mess of some villains that spilled out from the negative zone. And then he runs into this shadowy figure, which you'll have to pick up the book to read and see who it was. And then it cuts over to the second story, which is very short. It's just Blade with somebody, and they're talking about trying to fix the world and get it back to the way it was. So
that's fair.
It was a good book. It just felt weird for the second issue of an event to have these two split stories. I guess next week is going to be, it looks like each issue might deal with one of these members of the Squadron Supreme.
So, I'm wondering if it kind of got sort of backburned, but sort of rushed, like the 5G that turned into
Future state.
Yeah, future state.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because that's kind of what it feels like. But although it feels like this is way more like cohesive.
Yeah. And it's, now that you said it, it's kind of funny because when they did the history of the Marvel Universe, it was like that six parter.
Mm-hmm.
The last issue shows the things to come. So, and it shows Null and it shows Empire. And it shows a couple other things that have happened or happening at that time. and there's nothing in there that looks like this this storyline. So it's possible that this was something that they kind of threw together last minute.
Very possible.
Still good. I would check it out. So, well, I think we have a few more of those trading card packs. If you come in and pick up a number one or a number two, it's worth it for those trading cards for sure. For sure.
Yes, Dragon Ranger. Some of the future states were very dope. Some not so much though. I will give you that a lot of it was, but like especially for the art. The storylines, though, the writing I don't think was as strong in some of
them. The art was really good. If I was going to compare it to, like, say, New 52, I think I like more of Future State stuff than I did New 52.
For the art style or for the writing?
Both.
Really?
I wasn't a big fan of New 52. Yeah. So.
I thought the New 52 was much better than the Future State.
That's because they ruined my Teen Titans in the New 52.
Oh, well. They...
I mean,
they improved on a lot of other character stuff. Yeah. So.
And Superman, which I brought this up before, he's flying around in jeans with patches on his knees. Come on. Right. Mark can't let him go out like that.
He's probably like, oh, I'm working on this tractor. Now I got to go and fly over here. So.
But it's like he could, yeah, but like, boom, in and out. Like, changes super quick. He has super speed.
Nice. What else were we going to talk about?
We were going to talk about this Carnage trailer that dropped.
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
The Venom 2 trailer.
Yeah. What a Let weird there be way, Carnage.
What a weird way to to be like, hey, did you remember Eddie Brock? And you remember we did a Venom movie? Let's reintroduce you in the first like 30 seconds of this trailer to his character again. By having Venom cook breakfast for him. I wanted to stop watching the trailer at that point. Like, why are they making him a joke? I don't understand.
It was they did that in the first movie.
They did, but I thought maybe now that this was established and Carnage was going to be involved and it was going to be a lot darker, I thought that they would fix that, but nope. They did not.
Nope. Nope.
I don't like Tom Hardy as this character as Eddie Brock at all. But I'm not a big Tom Hardy fan, so.
I just don't like the way that they wrote Eddie or Venom. Like, I just don't like, I don't like the way they wrote the characters.
You can tell they stay in the character.
Yeah, and it, like, the three scenes I liked the most out of the Venom movie were the motorcycle chase scene, the She Venom scene, because it was like exactly the cover, and I thought that was a real cool homage. Yep. And then the scene where Venom jumps down into the foggy building and just eats everyone.
Yeah.
Like, because that was like the only real venomy thing that happened in the whole movie.
Yeah.
Wasn't as good as I hoped it to be. That's all.
The chase was good. I did like the chase. There was parts of the action and stuff that I thought could have been good in the first movie, but it was like so dark. It took the easy way out by making everything at night. The part with She-Venom, like that was so cool, but it's in the woods and it's at night and it's super dark. So it's like, right, you can barely see it.
Right. And, you know, and you guys were talking about it, you know, being if it was more of a horror film, you know, look what they did with New Mutants, and they made it a horror film and it worked. Yeah. Like it worked. It was a much better, like, sad to say that a New Mutants movie was better than a Venom movie, but it was.
Outside of the X-Men First Class, which is my favorite of the X-Men movies that Fox did. This was New Mutants was probably like the second best X-Men movie that they did.
So. I don't think it's that high up there. I have a couple more of the Fox X-Men's in there, but
yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I definitely think if they would have went full R and it would have been like Venom eating people and just ripping people apart and Eddie being more of a douchebag. But the problem is they didn't want to make him so much of a douchebag that people didn't like him. They wanted to make him like the anti-hero, like Deadpool almost.
Yeah.
You know, except Deadpool is actually funny and you know, is just completely batshit crazy, as where Eddie Brock is just a douche.
Yeah. So I wonder too if it's like, hey, we're going to continue with that trend, because then that's going to make, in comparison, Carnage seem even darker. I do have hopes that Woody Harrelson is going to do something cool with that character, just because I like him. He pretty much says anything.
I like that they got rid of the Ronald McDonald wig. Like, that was
good. Yeah. Like, please just cut that scene out from all of the digital copies, any of the CDs go or the DVDs going out now. Let's get that scene cut out, because that was terrible in the first one. And then you saw him in this one, and it was just kind of like fade with some curls on the top. And
right,
he looked more like what you would think that
Carnage would Cassidy. Look like. Yeah, yeah.
But yeah. Then we got our first look at Carnage.
Right.
What did you think?
It was like watching Venom scream like Godzilla.
Yeah.
And, you know, and Chip and I had a good conversation about some of the stuff we didn't like about the movie, the first movie, which we still don't like about the other one. But, like, we expected the symbiote to be a little more, like a little more fluid, but without being so shiny.
Yeah.
And that was one of the things that was weird for us. Like, it looked more like slime. And, you know, I never expected it to be like that. I expected it to be way more like of a fluid motion as it went through stuff, versus like the almost like semi-gelatin-y type of pull and stretch. And it, like, Carnage looked like Venom with extra arms.
I mean, they did
a little bit of red.
They did get him a little thinner.
Yeah.
I did think it was cool, like, when all the tentacles came off and it was like the different weapons and the sharp fingers and stuff. I thought that looked cool. But it did just look like a slightly red Venom. I mean, he had white teeth. Carnage doesn't have white teeth. He has black teeth.
Right.
He had like that pink kind of glow in his mouth. His eyes are usually, at least to me, a lot bigger. So it felt like they just, like you said, they kind of like, hey, we got this model for Venom. Let's just copy that, change it a little bit red, make him a little thinner. There you go. So it felt lazy. I don't know. Kind of bummed. I mean, since Maximum Carnage and the video game and all that, I've been waiting for Carnage on the big screen that long. And now we're going to get him, and it's probably going to suck.
Yep. Sorry, all you Venom and Carnage fans. You have to deal with yet another movie that will not live up to expectations. I'll probably see it on, like, the... I'll probably see it on, like, a matinee.
Yeah.
Probably.
And Carl nailed it too. He said all the symbiotes look the same. And that that was my problem with the first one. Like, they used, I think, was it Maniac? I think. But whichever one it was like a grayish silver color. But it was so close to the tone and the color that Venom was that you couldn't even tell what was going on in that fight. So,
It just did. There was some stuff that just didn't make any sense to me at all, like about that movie, that kind of contradicted itself too. So,
I'll Dragon Ranger said, you know, not as good as he hoped, but he'll go see it. And I'm still gonna see it too, but because I'm, like I said, I'm holding out hope that Woody Harrelson can salvage something.
At least make Cassidy to be a complete psychopath and really, really good like that, then I will totally be cool with watching that. Like, that'll be fine. But like, if I get in there and he's really not as like, cause he was always kind of like almost Joker level crazy. Right.
Yeah.
And like, if he's not that, I don't know if I might walk out.
I mean, I've seen in the comics Carnage throw a baby out a window. You know what I mean? Like, that's how crazy he is. So that's right up there with beating a teenager to death with a crowbar at the circus. So I agree. They are both very crazy. So I don't know. We'll see what happens. That's not until, when is that, September, I think?
Yeah, something like that. So, end of the year.
And then I meant to point this out when you were doing the magic book, but that writer, Jed McKay, he's doing the Moon Knight series that's going to be coming out.
Nice.
Yeah. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited for that. There was a lot of rumors that Null was going to be set up in this next Venom movie too. It's in some way, and I think that's way too quick.
I think they need to absorb him into the MCU proper before they do that.
Yeah. Oh, now we could talk about who was the girl that was in the trailer. I think it was Shriek.
I think so too.
Some other people were saying maybe Scream. But I thought for sure Shriek, because I don't know if you can have Carnage without Shriek. I feel like when you're introducing them, like...
Wasn't Scream technically in the first movie, though? Like...
Oh, yeah. Was it that lady?
Yeah, the yellow one. The one that became the yellow one.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. I forgot about that.
So, but Shriek was one of the ones that was an offshoot symbiote from Carnage. So, right? If I remember my symbiote lore correctly, it was Venom birthed Carnage, Carnage birthed Toxin, yeah. Shriek, and there are two more, right?
I think. And her powers aren't even real, like, that's what's weird about it. Like, she was birthed from Carnage, but it doesn't have, like, symbiote-like powers.
Right.
Carl said he better throw at least one baby out of a window. So, like what? If this movie is as bad as I'm thinking it's going to be, he can throw me out the window. So,
he's going to throw everyone who sees it out of the theater off the roof. That's that's what's really going to happen.
If we get 1 million subs, buy the Spider-Man rights from Sony. Yeah,
I think I'm going to need a little bit more than 1 million subs.
Yeah.
And then if 1 million subs each gave us $1 million to do it, we'd probably be okay.
Well, it's gonna work out, because once we get to about 1 million, then I'll kick off my boxing career.
Mm.
And then I'll just start being a jerk and setting up fake fights and fighting people like the Paul brothers.
Mm. By then, my OnlyFans should have me making enough money to buy Spider-Man from Sony. I mean, what? Bad Batch, the first two episodes are out. I only got to see the first one so far, but it was really good. Yep. I had a long talk with a buddy of mine who's really into Star Wars about how that episode was probably like the best episode he had seen of Dave Filoni's animated series stuff so far.
Well, it's cool because now we're going to get to see, like, the focus is always Jedis and Sith.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're going to get to see what happened to the clones. You know what I mean? Because that's the big question mark, is the clones just kind of went away and they started using regular, like, people that they, for the stormtroopers. So that'll be cool to see. There was one part that kind of threw me off a little bit, and it was the opening scene. With Caleb in the comic books. And kind of a spoiler for people if you haven't watched the first episode yet, but Caleb is Kanan.
Yeah. He changes his name to Kanan after this event so that he can hide. Yeah.
Yep. And that happened in the comic books in the Kanan 12-part series that Marvel did. It was at night. I think they were all around a campfire. So there was like those little detail things that they kind of missed that makes me wonder if they're communicating back and forth with the comic side. Because if you're going to have these be direct tie-ins to the comics and the stuff that they're doing in the comics becomes canon in the Star Wars universe, then I feel like they need to pay attention to these small details.
I don't think that book came out before they announced that everything pre was no longer canon.
It might not have, but it's like it exists and it talks about Kanan. I think it came out around the time that Rebels actually came out, because I think
there's
commercials and ads on there.
Yeah, that would have been like the right when Marvel started printing Star Wars books again, like when they got back and they, like, Jason Aaron did that run.
Yeah.
with like all those awesome freaking Alex Ross covers.
Yeah.
Remember those? Yeah, I think that came around then. And then when that series ended and then Disney officially bought Star Wars after that, and then they started the, I forget who did the first run of that. It wasn't Charles Soule. He did the Vader series that followed it.
Yeah, but he's, but, and now he's kind of like their architect for like basically Star Wars stuff. Right.
So the Kanan comic technically is not canon. But it's cool that they're bringing that character back into the fold.
Yeah.
The cool thing I like, cause I had never watched, Clone Wars or Rebels. Mm-hmm. But my buddy who I talked to did, and he said the only time we've seen the Bad Batch before this was for four episodes, and they went to find Echo, and that whole story of the, why they're finding Echo and what they did to him and why he's like half mech, like half droid, is like really, really good. And now I'm like, I need to go watch this. So
I'm gonna, and my hot take on those two series is probably not gonna be very popular with people. I think Rebels might actually be better than Clone Wars. Ahsoka's a great character, but I really like Rebels. They're characters that, you know, when you're talking about Clone Wars, a lot of these characters we already knew, you know, Anakin and Obi-Wan and stuff like that. So Rebels existing in that universe and seeing these new characters and then seeing them cross over with characters from Clone Wars, I think Rebels might be the better of the two series. And it has sick ass Obi-Wan versus Darth Maul. It's like 10 seconds long. Totally worth it at the end of season three. So, yeah.
That's awesome. I'm definitely eventually going to go back and do them after I'm done with my, maybe I'll do it after I'm done with my 6 Feet Under rewatch. So,
okay.
But, cool. Can't really think of any other news. Like, anybody got anything they want to talk about for 10 minutes?
I'll point this out again because
Carl totally said he will pay me to not make an OnlyFans.
I can see that.
Yeah, right. It's when you, it's crazy when you're like, I think I might want to make him an OnlyFans, and then people are like, I'll just pay you to not take your clothes off. Thank you.
Please keep those on, and here's money. That is the opposite of, it should just be called No Fans.
Right.
And this is my No Fans page.
This is my No Fans.
I'm going to take my clothes off unless you pay me.
But you can have a free OnlyFans. There's people that have free OnlyFans.
Yeah.
And they just do it to do it. Yep.
So.
Maybe it makes them feel less creepy about it. I don't know.
I think that's pretty much everything that kind
of. Yeah, this was kind of a light week of. It was a big week for books, but it was a light week for news.
Yeah, we're coming up on Loki here in a couple weeks, which is exciting. And it's even better for us and a great reason for more people to tune in because we're the day after the show. So,
yeah. Also, we're going to have a Loki trailer playing in store throughout next weekend during the Three Rivers show. So make sure you come up, come do that or come check that out.
Yeah, send us a trailer, you said, right?
Yep. I don't know which trailer it is, but they're sending me a trailer to put on at the show on loop, and that'll be done. And then, I had something else, and I lost it. Oh, man. Oh, so for those of you who shop the waterfront, I did some digging in some collections that we had got and put out a couple nice books earlier this week. I don't know how many of them are left. But we pulled
Amazing Spider-Man 361 is still there, so
and then we had a West Coast Avengers 45 and 46, so White Vision and First Great Lakes Avengers, and then what was it, there's going to be a couple more coming. I just need to get back in there and do that kind of stuff, so maybe Saturday I will price some of that stuff out. But all good things, a lot of good stuff coming out.
And if anybody is a Magic player or knows a Magic player, it was announced for May 28th, but we're still talking about it. So just keep an eye on the Facebook page for whatever store you go to, because we'll put announcements up about when we're going to open up play. But just wanted to throw that out there. So just keep an eye out for that on the Facebook pages. I would imagine we'll make some announcement about that.
Yeah, and every store is going to be doing something different. And it may be limited a little bit. So if it's you're a gamer, we're getting back to that kind of a start. So just bear with us while we make some changes. Like, you know, the world is changing every day, and we need a little bit more lead time than just finding stuff out. So
it's like, the day they announced that, I answered calls all day. So you guys having Magic on the 28th? And I'm like, guy, they just announced this. I don't know. We have to sit and talk about it. We have to figure it out, you know? Right. So whatever, like you said, each store is going to be doing something different. Whatever store you were maybe playing at, follow. Oh my God.
And all the stores are,
can't even focus now because Carl just came up with the best name for the OnlyFans.
Oh, I see that. Lonely fans, Lonely priceless. Fans.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
Please tell me that there's a website called, or not a website, that address is available.
I don't know, but that's great.
I'm looking at it right now. Oh my God. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
I just saw that.
So just for you gamers, just so you know, like, we're going to start with Magic. And then we're going to dip back into other things like D&D and stuff. But like, you got to bear with us while we figure this out. So just be patient. We love you, but be patient. So do we still West Coast Avengers?
I think he was asking
if we have one.
We do have one. So
okay.
Ron's happy because he was trying to finish no Spider-Man 300, Carl, but Ron's trying to finish Excalibur and he needs number 125, the last one.
Oh,
came across that the other day. Nice. So he's super stoked about that. And then now got the West Coast 45 he's been looking for. So
cool.
Yep.
Nice. Yeah. It was very serendipitous. I'm looking through a box and I was in one of the other rooms and I text Chip. I said, "We own all this stuff, right?" He just goes, "Yeah." And I just go, "Cool." And I sent him a picture of that Avengers.
Yeah.
He's just like, "Well, shit."
Yeah. Well, so, we had that Dr. Aphra, first Dr. Aphra.
Oh, yeah.
Somebody bought. So there's going to be some cool stuff. So make sure you guys come down, check it out.
And any of the minor key stuff I'm going to give to Tim for Facebook auctions. So make sure you guys check those out every Thursday at 6 at the Waterfront's Facebook page. And then thank you again for all of your support in doing these. This has been awesome. So, cool. Well, I think that wraps about it. Next week, we're going to probably have another short-ish one because we're all going to be in con prep mode. You may actually, depending on how busy I am, I might be doing this from the back of the store. So,
do we want to do it, or do we want to just take next week off because of the con? No,
that's fine. I'll just do it from the back. I might be doing it from the back of the store. That's all.
Okay. Well, then we're not going anywhere, guys.
Right. We still have new books coming out. We're going to review them.
New books is
terrible. However, we will try to get a little bit of I think Tim had an idea about maybe doing some interviewing with some people at the show just to see how they like it and shoot some video of it and stuff. So we may have a little bit of a special about that the following Thursday. So it'll be a good time. So, all right.
Thanks, everybody.
Thanks, everybody. And have a great weekend.